There we are, country music in full force. Stephanie McElroy, another one of Cameron Tilbury's artists, with It's Christmas Time. In the studio, we still have the delightful director of the Lincolnshire Event Centre and Lincolnshire Agricultural Society. That's Jane Southall. Southall or Southall?
Southall.
Yeah, Southall. I was just wondering, because I mean, we've had many a debate with the racecourse. You know, is it Southall? Is it Southall? You know, it's very confusing. Southall. Very precise on that. We also have Karen Parsons' Malpass, double-barrelled, and she certainly is, with a vengeance, when she goes into those marketing and communications scenarios. They're classic stuff there. And Jodie Orton, of course, a writer who's developing all sorts of other areas there, possibly might sort of avail herself of the services of Sheila Jones, key publicist with respect to books and writing. Somebody who's also writing, and indeed has become a star of 2011 and a regular monthly feature on the Midweek Drive, is our Angel from New York, of course, actress extraordinaire. The website is AnnetteAndre.com. Top actress and writer, Annette Andre. How are you, Annette?
I'm fine, and oh, I love hearing you say all those things. It's wonderful.
we only call them as we see them. That's the classic line from that point of view. Before we go into this month's thought, for not necessarily the season, but some interesting lines, because it's a bit like the old Letter from America, but a much more updated 21st century, and dare I say, Annette, sexier version than Alistair Cook ever was, really. You know, he tried, but he just wasn't in that sort of league. That's the bottom line. Have to ask you a little question on behalf of Phil Dearness, our director and writer in Los Angeles. He may be listening now if he's got up in time after the stresses and strains of the American Dream Team yesterday. Who knows? But he did acknowledge you from your time as the watchmaker's daughter in the Patrick McGoohan series The Prisoner. Now, you know Patrick, the prisoner. Apart from the fact that Patrick McGoohan possibly wasn't on his best form, and was possibly not quite as polite as Roger Moore was in The Saint, which is, you know, a range of things like that. And any thoughts about, because that is a sort of iconic episode in many ways, that people still say, oh, yes, The Prisoner, wonderful.
Yeah, well, I will tell you something. When I did The Prisoner, I didn't have a clue what I was doing. I didn't have a clue what it was about. I asked some of the actors, most of them didn't know either. And my feelings about Patrick, I won't sort of go on.
You see, that's polite. It's very important.
About.
That's why we don't talk about former directors or indeed chief executive officers at certain agricultural societies. We just don't. We do not in
he
any
was
way.
Very professional.
Very, very. Yeah. Can't think. You can, yeah, exactly. You probably can't say that about other sort of directors of Lincolnshire societies, etc. Anyway, quick introductions. We have in the studio Jane Clark, the aforementioned director of the Lincolnshire Event Centre and Lincolnshire Agricultural Society. And we also have Karen Parsons Malpass. And Jodie Orton and Sheila Jones. I think I've already said that, so it's just in case people were taking notes and they were said, look, please, I can't play the whole thing back. Annette, your thought for this month, it's not necessarily going to be Christmas-related, but it's politically related, because it's
is
Barack Obama going to be in position next year? Yesterday, our sister radio show, the American Dream Team, was saying, well, who's going to be the next president of the United States? Share with us, Annette, what's your view as an Australian living in New York?
An Australian English person.
Quite right.
Because I lived in England longer than I was in Australia.
There you go.
Now living in New York. Yep. Yes, I'll give you my version of the political scene. So, in the coming weeks and months, there'll be a series of political events here in the U.S. to select the likely Republican candidate to run against Democrat Barack Obama for the office of president. In the olden days of Rome, the populace feasted on bread and circuses. In modern-day America, the country is fed a diet of fictitious characters masquerading as politicians. Although the actual election is still about a year away, these caucuses, as they're called, have become a national obsession with non-stop print and TV coverage. Now, I'm anything but a political animal. I'm really not that interested, but I do confess to a macabre interest in both the political process by which this country ticks its leader and the caliber of people who think they have the right shoe size. First off, unlike Great Britain, where both the time allowed for campaigning and the amount of money allocated to the candidates is strictly limited, here in the U.S., both are completely unlimited. Millions upon millions of dollars are raised and spent by both parties with an abandon and calculation that puts Las Vegas to shame. But it's really the caliber of these Republican hopefuls that has me fascinated, their names in particular. The two front runners are called Newt Gingrich and Mitt Romney. Now, their hands-down favourites as characters in a Benny Hill sketch with names like that. Newt is the self-professed intellectual of the pack, having taught history at a small rural college distinguished for having absolutely no academic distinction. He's given to barely controlled rants and tirades, such as his recent halitosis of the brain, when he called the American child labor laws incredibly stupid. His fix would be to put 9- and 10-year-olds living in the poorest neighborhoods, we'll read black for that, to work as assistant janitors in schools. This employment would train them to have a habit of earning a living, something, Newt declares, their parents or guardians have failed to acquire. And no slacker in the money-earning department, Newt is the first and only presidential candidate to sell his autobiography at his speeches for $25 a pop. Mitt, on the other hand, is spookily controlled and spouts a mantra that begins and ends with his being the only candidate with the business experience to create jobs and pull the U.S. out of the recession. It's true that he built his multi-million dollar fortune in business by buying financially distressed companies, firing up to 90% of their workforce, and then selling off the businesses piece by piece. It's been estimated that in his 25-year business career, he was responsible for the loss of more than 1 million jobs. And then there's Michelle Bachmann, a fervent evangelical Christian tax lawyer, infamous for her serial gaffes in speeches and interviews. Her latest, in a small Iowa town, made headlines when she burbled enthusiastically to the crowd just how happy she was to be in the birthplace of her favorite actor, John Wayne, until someone in the audience pointed out that her hero actor was actually born in a town a few miles away. The John Wayne this town was unfortunately stuck with was recently executed for murdering 9 women. And finally, there was Herman Cain, a former pizza company executive and motivational speaker, who, until a few weeks ago, was leading the polls. And then, one woman after another, 4 in all, emerged from his past to accuse Cain of sexual harassment and assault while they worked for him. Well, he went on a frenetic damage control tour of the talk shows, proclaiming his innocence and the love and trust of his wife of 40 years. Then, the coup de grace, when a woman went on network television to confess a 13-year affair with Cain, backed by irrefutable proof. Well, magician Paul Daniels never made anyone vanish faster than Herman Cain's disappearing act from the political stage. Reflecting on the Republican presidential hopefuls made me think of NASA's efforts to discover if there's intelligent life on another planet. The search is doomed to failure. If indeed there is intelligent life somewhere in the universe, why would they make themselves known to any civilization that could produce a collection of clowns like Mitt, Newt, Michelle, and Herman? And as P.T. Barnum famously said, there's a sucker born every minute. Well, obviously, the Republican Party is counting on the truth of that. That's it.
Genius. I mean, you see what I'm at? You know, the spirit of Alistair Cook is alive and well and living with Annette. Of course, there is one thing in it there. Michelle, Newt and Mitt, they might be the aliens. Let's raise that, you know, as a possibility.
Well, there is a possibility.
I mean, you know, they do.
My God, we don't want to find intelligence, well, other life on a planet. That's it.
We've just been joined by Joy Knight. Joy, I know you have a wonderful son called Kieran. Did you ever consider calling him Newt as a possibility?
Newt. No, I didn't. I considered calling him Yule because his surname's Lovett, and I thought...
No.
No, please.
It's outrageous. Sheila, you like to keep a prescient watch on matters over the States. Any thoughts on Annette's views there?
Well, two, yes. Firstly, that I actually heard about Obama when he was very first setting up, and I remember somebody that I knew said, this guy's going to be president of the United States. And I says, and I wish I'd put $10 on it then. So I have got my...
I didn't hear that, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, I'm not close to the microphone. Yeah, I heard about Barack Obama when he was a senator and just standing for president, going down the path, and I wish I'd put $10 on it then, because this woman said, he's going to be president. I said, no way, and he was. Yes. So my $10 have gone on Ron Paul. That's where I think. Okay. I think that might be something there. We'll see.
Ron Paul. Okay, there we are. Interesting stuff. Annette, it's been absolutely splendid as ever, so sharing some thoughts with your good self. I think it's you can obviously go. You've got our very own podcast page as well with respect to these things. Just go to the Podbean site and you can find out all manner of routines. I think number three went splendidly. Jane, any thoughts from yourself? You'd like to sort of throw in at this stage?
I think the only thing is, if we're not careful, you find that the youngsters aren't interested in politics anymore because they think, you know, it's these people that say things and do something else. And you know, we fought, and the female women fought to vote, and yet we seem to be slipping somewhere, don't
Fair
we?
Fair point, exactly. Exactly. We shall find out more about that as the whole thing proceeds. My vote obviously goes for Annette André. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us, Annette André?
I have. Can I say one very quick thing before I go?
Yes.
We saw a movie the other day. Called Hugo, which is, I don't think it's over there yet. Is
it? It is. It has arrived in 3D with Martin Scorsese.
I would say everyone should go and see it. It's truly one of the most beautiful, wonderful pictures I've ever seen. I mean, the sets, the whole thing is absolutely knockout. And with a great cast, Sacha Baron Cohen, who I think is just terrific in it, and other people like Richard Griffiths and Frances de la Tour, Jude Law, a whole pile of them, and the two kids are wonderful. But it's a real must to see.
Well, I think that's your Christmas message, Annette, from that point of view, unless you'd like to add to the whole system. Your quote from us is a line from Ralph Bergengren. Christmas itself may be called into question. If carried so far, it creates indigestion.
That's possible.
Yeah, just work our way through that. I take it then we can look forward to connecting with you for more monthly thoughts and views from Annette André in 2012.
Lovely, that'd be great. I do look forward to these, you know.
Well, Annette, we like to feel it's a way of keeping those transatlantic bridges going. That's the important thing. It's very crucial. Okay. That's our things. Coming up next...
As long as it provides every now and again a bit of a laugh.
Well, exactly. Do you know that's exactly what Sir Patrick Moore says? Let's hope he can provide a laugh with us in a few moments' time. All being well. Take care.
Okay.
Speak soon.
Okay, thanks a lot. Bye.